What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant and Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about post-Syracuse thoughts, some of the things that I have from that game. I was not able to record afterwards. It's just been kind of a hectic week here for me. I know it seems like it's always that way for me lately, and it kind of has been. I've had some unexpected trips 3 days in a row to the vet for one of my animals who's been under the weather, so that's been kind of hectic. I've done 2 guest appearances this week, and I also had to put my office back together. I don't know if you guys were able to check it out on social media. I gave the office a little garnet and gold makeover just to help me get in the Seminole spirit when I get in here to record and do some things. So, but I really like the way it turned out. And overall, you know, I enjoyed the guest appearances and I like the way the office is looking. And so it's been hectic, but it's been a good week other than, like I said, the unexpected trips to the vet. But as far as those guest appearances go, I was on a radio station out of Louisiana to preview the game this week for them. And then also I did another one you guys might find interesting that you might enjoy. I had a friend of mine, Jeff from True Knowles Talk. He had me on to do a interview with Ricky Aguayo from the former Florida State Seminole, always a Seminole, but you know, of the football team anyway. So that was fun. I really enjoyed it. I do appreciate him having me on and letting me be a part of that. So you guys want to, if you want to go check that out, I think you'll enjoy it. It's on his page as well as mine. I did share it too. And I believe it's on YouTube as well. That's True Knowles Talk. So again, I appreciate him having me on. You guys go check that out. We'll be doing some things together coming up in the future, former players and stuff like that. He's great at doing the interviews and everything. So again, I appreciate him doing that. But yeah, so we're going to get into, you know, some things after the Syracuse game. First off, we'll start. Florida State does break into the top 20 in the college football rankings. They are number 19 currently. You know, looking ahead at some of the teams, Notre Dame has to play USC. UCLA still has to play USC. Kansas State, you know, I mean, they still have to play Kansas. I know Kansas, they've kind of fallen off a little bit. I don't think they ever got their quarterback back. I know he was out. He said he wasn't out for the season, but I think he's still out. You know, either way, long story short on that, there's a few spots Florida State could still move up if they win out these next 2 weeks, get a little help. You know, you might could crawl your way into the top 15. And then, you know, after bowl season, we'll see where it shakes out. But Florida State does have a very realistic chance to finish top 15 in the country if they can win out and get a bowl win, which is nice to see. And so, you know, it's just nice to see them get back to getting that number by their name, sustaining that number by their name. And they've been playing well. They deserve it. I think they're one of the top 20 teams in the country for sure. You know, maybe if probably better. I think they would beat a lot of the top 20 teams on a, you know, on a neutral field on any given Saturday. And so one of the reasons I bring that up, because it was kind of funny, you know, again, I keep telling you guys, if you don't follow me on social media, especially Twitter, you should jump on that because it's pretty fun. I like to mix it up with other fan bases. You know, they act like I just got a bunch of free time, but I enjoy it. So, you know, I like pulling stats and mixing things up with them. And so, you know, the big riff right now has been between Central Florida and Florida State. They're a little upset that Florida State jumped them in the rankings after they beat the powerhouse Tulane. So we've been kind of going back and forth about, you know, who's more deserving to be up high. And you know, they're sold that beating Tulane is better than beating LSU, or, you know, everyone keeps quoting that false narrative that Florida State, if they played LSU again now, that they would get drugged. And I'm like, okay, man, I get it. LSU's gotten better, but so has Florida State. They won their last 3 games by a combined 102 points, outgained the last 3 ACC opponents by 904 yards. And, you know, again, I understand they're not great teams, but LSU also struggled with Arkansas. They also struggled with Auburn, who are both bad teams. And Florida State, when they've played bad teams this year, they've blown them absolutely out of the water. So to me, that's a ridiculous narrative. Do I think Florida State would win again? I don't know, but I'm sure it's not going to be a 20-point blowout like everybody thinks it's going to be. You know, they don't understand that Florida State was dealing with injuries. They don't understand that Florida State, you know, has gotten better too. So I still think it would be a very good game between the two. Obviously, we'll see how things go next year. But, you know, I've just been mixing it up with the Central Florida fans recently. You know, I really hate transitive wins. I think it's kind of a bad argument, you know. But when you don't have a lot, to go on. You know, you just look at a team like their win against Tulane. Tulane lost to Southern Miss, who got blown out by Miami, who Florida State blew out. You know, they lost to Louisville. Florida State beat Louisville on the road with a backup quarterback and multiple starters out. They beat Georgia Tech by 17 points, outgained by 119 yards. Florida State beat them by 25, including that last-second touchdown with no time left, and outgained them by over 300 yards. So, you know, I understand Group of Five is a competitive conference. They're fun to watch. You know, these teams sneak up on somebody every now and then. But it's just not the same as playing Power Five teams. And that's one thing that I tried to state my case on with them was the fact that, you know, they say, okay, well, you know, look at this number or look at that or look at their strength of record and everything. And I'm like, yeah, man, but at the same time, their entire schedule is 3-12 against Power Five teams. And two of those wins came against 3-7 dumpster fire programs. So, I mean, you know, what it like, I'm sorry, Central Florida. Like, I know that you guys live in, or you know, they belong in Orlando where everything's make-believe, just like their national championship. So, just had to throw a little shade on them on this episode. It's been fun. You know, no harm intended. This is just fun for me. Like, someone said, oh, you FSU fans are crying. But, I mean, ain't nobody crying. We're just having fun. This is football. Like, if you can't talk smack, what is football all about? That's what it's all about, is being able to talk smack to other fan bases. And, you know, thankfully, Florida State's back in a position where we can do that, because a few years ago, you know, the last few years, we haven't been able to say much. So it's just been fun mixing it up. But getting into the thoughts on the Syracuse game, wonderful performance by Florida State. I mean, you went up there and you absolutely dominated a solid conference opponent. Now, is this the Syracuse I think we saw that was 6-0 at one point? Maybe. I think they're a little worse off, you know, from injury reasons. I don't think Garrett Schrader was 100% in that game, but he played. He said he felt good enough to play, and he was, you know, he was in the whole game. And Florida State absolutely dominated them. 420 yards, 230 on the ground, another 200-yard rushing performance. This is the fifth game now in a row where Florida State's put up over 200 yards on the ground. You held Syracuse to only 160 yards, 65 passing, 95 rush. They just couldn't do anything. 2.56 yards per play. I mean, this defense played lights out in that game. You know, Jordan Travis was a very efficient, 21 of 23, 155 yards, three touchdowns, five rushes for 21 yards, one touchdown, and a receiving touchdown. So five total touchdowns in the game. Trey Benson continues to be a monster. 18 carries, 163 yards, 9.1 yards per carry. You know, so again, it's been fun to watch, you know, them dominate these opponents. Again, I understand they're not the greatest of opponents, but, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do against the, you know, the lesser competition in the ACC. So, you know, it's just good to see them get back to dominating these type of teams. And then we'll see how things go against Florida. You know, that's a better, maybe a little better measuring stick as far as talent-wise. You know, I'm not going to say that they're leaps and bounds better than some of the teams you've played, but I do think talent-wise, they're more on a similar level. So like I said, in the last three games, Florida State has outgained their opponents by a total of 904 yards and outscored them by 102 points. That's absolutely dominating stuff. You know, this is two games in a row now where you've held teams under 200 total yards and not allowed a touchdown. Five games in a row over 200 yards on the ground. Florida State has the most explosive plays in FBS, which is 20-plus yards at 71. I've mentioned on the pod before, the site or the Twitter page that puts it out, Pick Six Previews, they do an opponent-adjusted Power 5 offensive-defensive rankings. It's opponent-adjusted per play. And Florida State comes in the top 10 in both offense and defense. The only other teams that are in, you know, in there, in that same category, in top 10 on both sides of the ball, is there's Florida State, there's Michigan, and there's Georgia. So we're in good company. I mean, this team, like, there's no denying it. I know people refuse to give credit to Florida State for being good this year because of what's happened in the past. But people don't understand, like, what the portal changes things nowadays. You can go from, you know, zero to hero, so to speak, in a short amount of time by acquiring talent through the portal that's ready to go day one. And that's what Florida State has done. So, like, it's not unreal to acknowledge what they're doing and how they're playing right now. You know, we'll see how things go forward. You're going to have to retain some of this talent. You're going to have to go after more in the portal. And to be fair, I do think they're going to do very well. in the portal. I mean, it has to be a destination now when you look at these players and you know, you have a Jermaine Johnson, you have a Trey Benson, you have a Johnny Wilson, you have Jared Verse, you have these guys, Jordan Travis, these guys who have transferred to Florida State and shined, you know, in an offense that, not no pun intended, is built for playmakers, and the defense has done the same. So, you know, I think they'll have a big year this offseason in the portal, because it's going to be wild. I mean, there's going to be so many people transferring, I feel like, this year. So, you know, it's exciting to know that this team can get good going forward. You know, there's been some whispers behind the scenes of some big things that may happen this offseason, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see how those things play out. So, you know, just overall, very happy with how Florida State has been playing the last 3 weeks. They've been doing very well. You know, and to be fair, I think, speaking of the LSU game and replaying it, there's no doubt in my mind from what I've seen the last 3 weeks, and I'm not going to, like, send Florida State to the playoffs based on beating Georgia Tech, Miami, and Syracuse by any means. But I think if you were to line it up again in the next 3 weeks and you were to play Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson again, I think you're going 2-1, if not 3-0 in those games. You know, Clemson has not looked themselves. They've had to bench DJ twice now. You've had NC State, who lost to Boston College, which is an inexplicable loss for them, even with a freshman at quarterback. You know, so you tell me Florida State can't beat them the way they're playing now? I think so. Wake Forest falling off a cliff as well. They're now 6-4. I think Florida State probably gets them too. You know, and a lot of that has to do with Florida State getting healthy now. You know, they've gotten healthy, they've gotten in sync, and they're playing their best football right now. You know, but I mean, their losses, there's nothing you can do about it now. You know, those games are behind you, but I do feel like if they were to line them up again, Florida State would probably win at least 2 out of the 3 there. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it now, but it's just, you know, my thought process on that. Now, one other piece of good news, speaking of Wake Forest, Sam Hartman was quoted the other day as saying he wants to test the waters of the NFL. You know, and I saw a hilarious joke the other day that says, well, I don't know why he's leaving now, because he just hit tenure at Wake Forest. So it's like, that man has been there so long. You know, he's probably got a mortgage, you know, and he's got bills to pay. He's got to go try to make some money here. So, you know, that's good news for us. Finally, you know, after about 15 years, he's going to move on. So with that, we're going to go ahead and transition into the Louisiana preview and just talk a little bit about this game. I understand Florida State is favored by 24 points. You know, they should win this game. On paper, they should win it going away. They're a 24-point favorite for a reason. But in the same breath that I'd kind of dished on Group of Five teams, you can also not take your eye off a team from the Sun Belt. You know, just ask Jimbo how that worked out. You know, things aren't going so well for old Jimbo there. Which I'm not really a Jimbo hater, to be honest with you, but it is kind of funny how things are playing out over there at Texas A&M. But, you know, you just look at the thing like Georgia Southern and what App State's been able to do and some things like that. So you have to take every opponent serious. You have to show up and play your A game. And to be fair, I do have a couple of concerns about this game. You know, they are an opportunistic defense. They are good at protecting the ball. They are +7 in turnover margin, which is very good. And you do have a noon kick coming off a long road trip to Syracuse with a big-time rivalry on a short week next week. So you can't get caught lacking. You know, you got to bring your A game. You have to take this team serious. Not that I feel like Florida State's going to get upset or anything, but, you know, it could be closer than maybe some think. I still think Florida State's going to handle their business in this one. But we're going to go ahead and talk about a little bit of the specifics of this game. So, like I said, you have Florida State coming in at number 19. They are 7-3 on the season, finished up ACC play 5-3. ACC play is over. Road games are over. They got the last two games at home, as we know. They are currently on a 3-game winning streak, and they are 3-2 at home this season, 7-3 against the spread. Louisiana is currently 5-5, 3-4 in conference play in the Sun Belt. They are on a 1-game winning streak after beating Georgia Southern. And in away games, they've struggled this season. They are currently 1-3 and 6-4 against the spread. So when you look at Louisiana, you know, this would have been probably a little more troublesome game last year. They were 13-1, had a historic season. Of course, we know they lost Billy Napier, who went to Florida as their head coach. He was their play caller. They lost a lot of production off both sides of the ball. So, it's, you know, that's hard for any program to recover from. And it's hard when, you know, as a group of five team, when you're trying to build something and you just can't financially keep up with some of the Power Five teams and they come in and they poach you, poach your coaches, poach your players, like that, it's hard for anyone to recover from that. So, and that's shown up in the record as they're 5-5 this year. But they have played some pretty good teams at the group of five level. So looking at strength of schedule, Florida State is currently sitting at 18th, and Louisiana is currently sitting at 105th. So when you look at some of these stats, do keep that in mind, that Florida State has performed better statistically against much better competition. And it can be tricky. This is one of the things that I was trying to explain to UCF fans too, is it's hard to compare group of five teams against power five teams without common opponents because, for instance, Louisiana has played three top 25 defenses this year, which is a fair amount. But how good are those defenses if they were going against an offense like, say, Florida State, Tennessee, you know, whoever, Georgia or something like that, even Wake Forest? But they're not. So, like, they are getting ranked up there in it as a top 25 defense, but they haven't faced a Power 5 opponent. So, like, that's why when I tried to tell, you know, when I was going back and forth with UCF fans, I'm like, I understand what you're trying to tell me about this hypothetical metric and strength of record based on what could possibly happen, you know, the probability of this team doing that against that team. I said, look, man, the straight-up facts is the teams on that schedule were 3-12 against Power 5 teams. So, it's just different. It's just different. You can be good against your, you know, against that, against a group of five teams. And when we look at Louisiana, the story is pretty much the same. Their opponents' records that they've played so far this season, they are 3-8 against Power Five opponents. And two of those wins came against 3-7 teams who have both since fired their coach. That's Arizona State and Nebraska. Of course, we know Marshall got the big win over Notre Dame, and that was a great win for them. Now, they haven't done a whole lot since, but, you know, it's just worth mentioning. So, you know, again, keep in mind when you hear some of these stats, these are coming. Louisiana has not played a Power 5 team yet this season. So these are all against Group of 5 teams and one FCS program. As far as the win probabilities go, ESPN is giving Florida State a 93% chance. PFF bumps it up a tick at 94%. PFF 70-plus graded players with a 50-snap minimum, as you know we like to use. Florida State is currently sitting at 19, 8 on offense, 11 on defense. Louisiana is at 17, 6 on offense, 11 on defense. So the FEI rankings, which is Fremrow rankings, I think that's how you say his name, it's more opponent and pace of play adjusted, like I try to, you know, let you guys know every time. It's just more of an advanced way of ranking teams based on pace of play and adjusted for opponent. So Florida State comes in at 12th. Louisiana comes in at 78th. S&P Plus rankings, Florida State comes in at 19th. Louisiana comes in at 68th. The F Plus rankings, which combines both of those in equal parts, Florida State comes in at 15th. Louisiana comes in at 72nd. So looking at points per game, Florida State is scoring on average 34 points a game. Louisiana is at 26.6. Points allowed per game, Florida State is currently at 18.1. Louisiana is allowing 21.2. So again, like I said, you can see where Florida State's numbers have been a little better, you know, well, not a little better, a lot better, against better competition. So yards per game, Florida State's currently putting up 477 yards per game. Louisiana is at 368.5. Yards allowed per game, 293.6 for FSU, 354.3 for Louisiana. Yards per play, Florida State is averaging 6.89 yards per play. Louisiana is at 5.31. And yards per play allowed, Florida State is at 4.62. Louisiana is at 5.11. So, like I said, as you can see, the numbers for Florida State on paper tell you they should win this game. And I do think that's going to be the case, you know. But again, you know, games aren't played on paper, so you got to show up and you got to play. Average penalties per game, Florida State is at 7.40 per game, 111th in the country. Still kind of doing a little rough on the penalties there. Had some face mask in that last game, late in that last Syracuse game that kind of drove that number up. Louisiana is currently at 6.9 penalties a game, 95th. So not too far off. They do get penalized pretty heavily in a few games, so it should be pretty even as far as that goes. And as you heard me mention before, in turnover margin, Florida State did turn positive finally after the Syracuse game. They are currently at +1 in the turnover margin, tied for 59th in the country. Louisiana is plus 7, which is very good. Tied for 17th in the country. So again, Florida State has to focus on ball security, because if there's one way to let a team, you know, a lesser opponent hang around, is to give them extra at bats. It's to not take care of the ball and give them extra opportunities. So they will have to be diligent about ball security in this game. And so quickly we'll run through the Louisiana schedule and results and just kind of look at some of the teams they played and how they performed in those games. So starting with game one for Louisiana, they won 24-7 over Southeast Louisiana, who is a pretty solid FCS team. They're currently sitting at 7-3 on the season. In that game, Louisiana Lafayette put up 374 yards, 241 through the air, 133 on the ground, and Southeast Louisiana put up 260 yards on them. Now, when I say they're a decent FCS team, do keep in mind that they got blown out by a 5-5 Florida Atlantic 42-9. So they have a good record, but you know, when they played an FBS team, a couple FBS teams, did not go so great. In that game, though, Louisiana Lafayette only put up 17 offensive points. They had a punt return for a touchdown, which they have done pretty well at scoring some non-offensive touchdowns this season. So again, that's something, you know, like I said, there's a few games, too, where that means our offense didn't score as much as was on the scoreboard. So only 17 points against an FCS team, not exactly a great look. But then they did follow it up in the next game with a 49-point performance, beating Eastern Michigan, who is currently sitting at 6-4, 49-21. They put up 459 yards in that game, 310 through the air, 149 on the ground, which was a good outing for their offense. They did give up 361 yards, 320 pass, only 41 on the ground. Now, Eastern Michigan, I know they're 6-4. They did beat Arizona State, but we know Arizona State is an absolute dumpster fire right now. They've fired Herm Edwards and you know, just some of the things that come out of Arizona State, my goodness. You know, the coach is leaking secrets, trying to get them to lose so they can get the coach fired. Just an unreal situation at Arizona State. But they also only beat a 1-9 UMass team by 7 points at home. So again, you know, how good is that Eastern Michigan team? They did have 5 turnovers in that game and 10 penalties. Now, Louisiana had 12 penalties of their own in that game, which didn't help their effort. But that's what I was talking about, is they have their fair share of penalties too. So game three, they lost 33-21 at Rice, who is currently 5-5. I'm not sure what happened in this game. The stat line in this game is kind of crazy. Louisiana only managed to put up 175 yards, 114 pass, 61 on the ground. Rice put up 449 yards and had the ball for an insane amount of time. They had the ball for almost 42 minutes in that game. So they basically held the ball for 3 quarters. So like I said, I didn't go back and watch every Louisiana game. I watched some of the Southern Miss game. I'm not sure what happened in that game, but that is kind of an insane stat line. So not the greatest outing for Louisiana in that game. Now also keep in mind, Rice, they lost. This is what I talk about when I talk about stepping up from G5 to Power 5. And I know USC is 9-1, top 10 in the country. They're a good Power 5 team. They beat Rice 66-14. So, you know, when you look at how Rice got just absolutely demolished by USC, you know, and Florida State, it's not like Florida State is comparable to Arizona State now, or, you know, or the teams that were losing to these guys, to these type of teams. They're more comparable to a USC now. They're more compared, you know, they're a top 20 team. So, you know, you kind of expect a more similar result compared to like what you got out of USC there. So, again, ULL in this game had another pick six, which means they only put up 14 offensive points in that game. And so moving to game four, they lost 21-17 against Louisiana Monroe. Louisiana Monroe is only 4-6, and they're struggling a little bit this season. ULL put up 354 yards in that game. ULM actually, they did outgain them 419 yards, and Louisiana gave up 227 yards on the ground, which kind of makes your mouth water a little bit. You know, knowing Florida State's put up 200 plus on the ground in the last 5 consecutive games. So ULM is 0-2 versus Power 5 teams. They got absolutely demolished by Texas and Alabama. Of course, those are good Power 5 teams, and that's the result exactly what you would expect. That's why they pay them all that money to come in and take that whipping. But again, that just speaks to kind of how we expect this game to go this week. So game five, they lost 20-17 against South Alabama, who is they are a good quality group of five team. They are currently 8-2, and they only lost to UCLA by 1 point on the road. So that was a good contest for them. You know, UCLA's top 20 now too as well. They take on USC this Saturday, so that's going to be pretty big game there. Louisiana put up 274 yards in that game. South Alabama put up 361. And, you know, most of their games have been close. South Alabama, they have not played any other Power 5 teams except for the UCLA game. But, again, that was a good performance for them, so they get credit for that. Now, their strength of schedule is only 93rd, so, you know, they haven't played much besides UCLA. So, Game 6, they did beat Marshall, which was a good win for them knowing that Marshall beat Notre Dame, even though Marshall struggled a little bit since that game. And Notre Dame has kind of seemed to rebound. So they won that game 23-13 against Marshall, who is currently 6-4. They put up 338 yards in that game. Marshall put up 276. So they had a pretty good defensive game there. And we know Marshall, like I said, they beat Notre Dame. They beat James Madison, who was ranked at one point after transitioning from FCS, you know, kind of an FCS powerhouse, testing the waters at FBS level. And like I said, they haven't really done a whole lot since. So game seven, they beat Arkansas State, who's only 3-7, not a great program. They beat them 38-18. Interesting stat for this game is, I'm sure most of you guys remember James Blackman, former FSU quarterback. He transferred there. He has been their starting quarterback, I believe, for at least the last 2 years now, and he's been doing well there. But he did not play in this game. So he was out in that game, so they had their backup quarterback in. And Louisiana put up 522 yards, 316 through the air, 206 on the ground. So it was a really good offensive performance for Louisiana in that game. Absolutely dominated them. Arkansas State only put up 271 yards. So, like I said, I mean, they've had some games where they've stepped up and they've had some, you know, some good performances. But then, you know, you turn around and you look at game eight. They lost 39-24 at Southern Miss, who is currently 5-5. Now, they did outgain Southern Miss by 100 yards, 439-339. So when you look at Southern Miss, this was another thing that we talked about earlier. You know, Southern Miss beat Tulane. That was a good win for them. But Southern Miss also lost to Miami 30-7. And we know Florida State dominated Miami by 42, or, you know, blew them out by 42 points. So again, I really hate using transitive wins and things like that because it's just hard to do. You know, but again, you look at Southern Miss was able to beat Louisiana, you know, by 15 points, and they were able to, you know, and they got blown out by Miami, a team that Florida State blew out. So, you know, it's kind of the only common opponent that you have between the two. So that's the only reason I bring that up. So game nine, they lost 23-17 to a very good Troy team. They're currently 8-2. You know, they in that game, they had 315 yards, 203 on the ground. So they're a pretty good rushing team, Louisiana. Troy put up 377 yards in that game, so it was pretty close. Troy, like I said, they're a solid game, or I mean a solid team. The only Power 5 game they've played this season was a loss to Ole Miss, 28-10. And, you know, Ole Miss is a quality program. You know, for right now, unless Lane bolts to Auburn, which I kind of think is going to happen. You know, it feels like Lane is just his mission in life is to beat Nick Saban, and I just don't know, you know, that they're going to be able to do it at Ole Miss. But Auburn, you know, you get the Iron Bowl every year. I think there's some more resources there. You know, I think that's a possibility. But again, you know, you take an 8-2 team, you know, and they got beat by 18 points by an FBS opponent, a Power 5 opponent, should I say. So that just, again, that speaks to that step up in level, like I was talking about, and how it doesn't always translate for the Group of 5 team. So then you look at Game 10 last week. They beat Georgia Southern 36-17. Georgia Southern, you know, they beat Nebraska early in the year. They got some attention. They have Clay Helton as their coach, you know, coming from USC. And I grew up around Georgia Southern. They're a good program. I got a buddy there who's the head strength and conditioning coach. So, you know, I like Georgia Southern, but, you know, they've not been that great this year. They're currently sitting at only 5-5. After they beat Nebraska, they just kind of fell off in that game. They have a pretty terrible defense. And so Louisiana Lafayette, they did put up 435 yards in that game, another 200-plus yard performance on the ground with 242 rushing yards in that game. and Georgia Southern. They did allow Louisiana Lafayette, should I say, allowed Georgia Southern to put up 430 yards, 358 passing, 72 on the ground, which Georgia Southern, to be fair, does have a good offense. They just have a terrible defense. So, like I said, they beat Nebraska, but they've been 3-5 ever since. So, you know, how valuable is that win? I don't know. But anyway, so, I mean, it gets them to 5-5. They only need one more game for bowl eligibility. Obviously, it's probably not going to come this week, but I think they have Texas State left, and they'll probably get a win there. You know, again, it's just hard for them to rebound from a lot of the losses that they had this year, you know, as far as on their depth chart and from the coaching ranks and everything. But, you know, Louisiana, again, they're a scrappy team that you cannot turn your back on. And so just looking at some of the notes that I have on their schedule here, their opponents' records combined are 57-43. The teams that they beat have a combined record of 27-23. So when you look at who they played and who they beat, they've kind of beat up on some bad teams. Only three of the five wins that they have, those teams are above 500. Only three out of the five wins are above 500. Their opponent record versus Power Five, like I mentioned before, is currently 3-8, with two of those coming against 3-7 teams who have both fired their coach so far. And the highest strength of schedule that anyone on Louisiana's schedule has currently is 74th. So that, again, speaks back to, okay, well, you beat some teams, but who are you really beating? I mean, you face some quality Group of Five teams, but if you haven't faced anyone with a strength of schedule in the top 75, or excuse me, you know, top 70, you kind of got to take things with a grain of salt there. In fact, Louisiana so far this season, of all their wins, they have not beat a team with a strength of schedule higher than 80th in the country. For reference, Florida State has currently beat three teams with a strength of schedule inside the top 35. So, like I said, you know, it's been against tougher competition for Florida State, obviously, which, you know, I don't expect Louisiana to just come in and compete at a Power 5 level. I mean, that's why they're a Group of 5 team. But so when we look at some other stats for this game, total offenses faced so far this season for Louisiana, you currently have the 17th, 39th, 70th, 75th, 81st, 101st, 106th, 114th, 116th, and an FCS program. So they faced two top 50 offenses this entire season, which is, you know, probably has a little bit to do with why their defense looks a little bit better than their offense. For reference, Florida State is currently 16th in total defense, so will statistically be the best defense that they have faced, and obviously the most talented defense they have faced coming from the Power 5 level. Now, when we talk about their offense not being quite as good as their defense, that is a little bit explained when you look at the defenses that they face. So far this season, Louisiana has played these are their total defenses faced: 9th, 12th, 25th, 64th, 68th, 73rd, 98th, 110th, 128th, and an FCS program. So you did have three top 25 defenses that you faced, and you've had five that have been in the top 70. So it's been a much harder slate of defenses that they've had to play against versus the offense. Now, Florida State currently sits at 11th in total defense. So statistically, they fall between Marshall and South Alabama as the toughest defenses that Louisiana has had to face. Now, this is what I talk about when you look at the two levels. Do you realistically think Marshall and South Alabama's defenses are as good or better than Florida State's? I don't. So this will be the most talented and realistically the best defense that they've had to play this season too. That's not saying those teams aren't playing, you know, they're not good defenses. That's not saying that. It's just saying that I don't think week in and week out, a Group of Five team is facing the challenges that a Power Five team is facing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some good offenses and good defenses at the Group of Five level. And I'm not hating on the Group of Five. I love the Sun Belt. I think it's one of the funnest conferences to watch. You know, I grew up around Georgia Southern. I live halfway between Coastal Carolina and App State. App State is on my bucket list of games to go to. We were gonna try to make one this year, but it's not gonna turn out that way. But next year, I'm definitely gonna try and make a game up there. I'm only a couple hours from there. You know, I love watching the Group of Five teams, and the competition relative to each other is up there. But there's a reason, like I said, that you see the records of these teams against Power Five teams. It's not on the same level. So, like I said, that's just something to keep in mind. So when you look at Louisiana, also, versus the top 50 offenses, they have allowed 18.5 points per game. So they've done pretty good on defense against those offenses. Now, when you flip that over to the top 50 defenses that they faced, they have only put up 13.3 points per game, offensive points per game, on those teams. So that's literally half of the 26.6 they're averaging on the season. So when they faced tough defenses, their offense has not been able to do much, which is what I kind of expect again this week against Florida State. So looking at their offense, so total offense, Louisiana comes in at 83rd. Passing offense, they come in at 73rd. Rushing offense, they come in at 78th. So not great in either aspect, but pretty balanced overall. And, you know, they don't really have something they're great at and something they're terrible at. They're just kind of average at both. Third down offense is currently 65th in the country. Red zone offense, however, they have struggled to turn red zone trips into points. They are currently 119th in the country. Now, they are pretty decent at protecting their quarterback. They're only 52nd in sacks allowed and 33rd in tackles for loss allowed, so they're pretty good at protecting, you know, against negative plays. Speaking of their quarterback, he is not the guy who started the season for them. He took over midway through the season. Is going to be Ben Wooldridge, who is a Fresno State transfer. Currently on the season, he has a completion percentage of 56.1% for 1,654 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, which is pretty good numbers, to be fair. His big-time throw rate is 4.7%. That's pretty good. Turnover-worthy play rate, 3.2%. A little high, but not by much. Now, Louisiana has had 21 drop passes this year, which is pretty, you know, that's a fair amount there. His PFF grade is 73.9, so he's been, you know, he's been a serviceable quarterback for them. He currently has 10 sacks and 94 pressures. You know, he's good about protecting against sacks through either running or throwing it away, because when you look at his pressure to sack ratio, it's only 10.6%. So a lot of the times when you're able to get pressure on him, he's hard to get a sack on. So we'll see how that plays out for Florida State in this game, because the way that they've been bringing pressure the last 3 weeks has been impressive. Now that you have Fabian Lovett back, now that you have a healthy Jared Verse, and you have guys like Patrick Payton, who's really come on as a nice player. You know, you saw the forced fumble he had in the Syracuse game. That was a very heady play by him. So, you know, Florida State's really, you know, like I said, they're hitting their stride right now. And in the pressure sack department, especially on defense, has been one of the areas that they have been excelling the last few weeks. Speaking of pressure, when you do look at the pressured passing for Wooldridge this season, he's been kept clean 65.4% of the time, pressured 34.6% of the time. When he's kept clean with no pressure, he has a completion percentage of 68.2%. The adjusted completion percentage, which accounts for drops and throwaways, which to me is a more fair number to go by, is 82.1%. with a PFF grade of 90.8. He has 1,373 yards, 14 touchdowns, 1 interception when kept clean. Now, it's a complete different story when you look at pressured passing, which it is for most quarterbacks, but some are better than others under pressure. So when you look at under pressure, his completion percentage drops to 27.4%. Adjusted is 50%, and his PFF grade is only 33.3. 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, 281 yards. So it's going to be crucial for Florida State to get pressure on him in this game, because if they do, he's likely to have a bad game. Which, like we said, that may be easier said than done, but if they can do that, that could be a decided advantage for them to help win this game, to impact this game. He does have a good passing completion and grades for basically all of the levels of passing depth, especially the deep ball. He does have a good grade and a good completion percentage there. He does throw a nice deep ball in some of the film that I watched. However, Louisiana primarily throws short passes. Now, short passes are defined on my metrics as 0 to 9 yards. That accounts for 40.2% of their passes. So they're going to throw a lot of short passes, you know, to avoid that pressure, to get the ball out quick, and to let their guys work in space. Speaking of the guys that are going to be working in space, let's talk about two of their impact players for offense. The first guy that you got to watch is Michael Jefferson. He is a 6'4", 200-pound wide receiver that lines up primarily out wide. He only has a catch percentage of 57.4%, which is kind of low, but he does have 669 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns, which is very good, as far as especially 6 touchdowns. So, you know, he's that bigger wide receiver target that they like to use. PFF grade is 73.5, which is good again. He does have 5 drops on the season, and he does have a pretty low contested catch rate. Only 6 of 18, which is 33.3%. So if you can kind of challenge him, which is something that we know Fuller likes to do with his DBs, he's fine with leaving them in man, you know, putting them out on an island and challenging them to make plays. But if you can get in his, you know, get in his grill or whatever, and you can contest that catch, he's only caught 33% of them. So, you know, you definitely need to challenge him there. The reason we say he's one to watch, he has over twice as many yards and almost twice as many targets as any other receiver on the team. So he's going to be that guy that they're going to try and force feed the ball, you know, which I like. You know, now, they do have 10 receivers, I believe it was, with over 100 yards receiving. So, you know, they can spread it out. But to me, anytime you see one dominant guy, it makes you worry about stopping that guy. But it also tells you that if you can, you know, shade some extra coverage that way, you know, cheat a safety over or bracket him or whatever you have to do, if you can take him away, they don't have a lot behind him to make up for that. So that'll be something to look for in this game. At running back, they'll turn to Chris Smith, who is their leading guy. He is 5'9", 197 pounds. This season, he has 93 attempts, 484 yards, 5.2 yards per carry. So, you know, averaging over 5 yards a carry is pretty solid. He does have a PFF grade of 74.9, 26 missed tackles forced, 13 runs of 10-plus yards. He does a little bit of work out of the backfield, but not a ton. 17 receptions, 115 yards, and 0 touchdowns receiving. So looking up front at the guys who will be blocking for him, they did lose some guys on the offensive line. I think Billy Napier even took at least one of them, maybe two, to Florida with him. But they still have some experience up there. You know, they just weren't always the starters from the past. So looking at your left tackle, he's a fourth-year player. PFF grade of 66.4. Pass block grade is down at 59.3. Your left guard is a third-year player with a PFF grade of 72.4, so that's pretty solid. Your center is a fourth-year player, PFF grade of 61.5, that's just above average. And your right guard is a fourth-year player, PFF grade of 65.2. Now, he does have a really good pass blocking grade of 71.5, but, you know, you're going to get some help from the center on some double teams on the interior line. Your right tackle, he's 6'4", 2D9, so kind of a lighter guy. He is a fifth-year player, PFF grade of 63.7, just above average, but he has a pass blocking grade of 52.8. So you can see on the edges there, they're a little vulnerable to the pass rush. They're a little vulnerable on their pass blocking, which, again, when you have guys like a healthy Jared Verse and a Patrick Payton, you know, and some of the other guys that they have on this team, you can see the path to getting some pressure on this quarterback here, which should definitely impact the game. So flipping over to the defense real fast, they are currently 40th in total defense, 74th in passing defense, 32nd in rushing defense. So better against the run than the pass, but, you know, I hope they pack a lunch because, again, this is one of the best running teams in the country. I was going to say that they're going to face, but this is, you know, Florida State's one of the top rushing teams in the country. So, like I said, they're going to have to pack a lunch because it's going to be a long day for them. And you know, Florida State rushed 2 of those 5 games where they've rushed for over 200 yards consecutively. 2 of those were against top 15 rush defenses in Clemson and NC State. So to me, a 32nd ranked rush defense from the Group of 5 level, I can see Florida State getting to that 200-yard mark again in this game more than likely. Which, you know, that comes back to really just speaking what Alex Atkins and this offensive line has been able to do, because they get credit too. I mean, Alex Atkins is coaching them up and getting them right, but they're going out there and performing at a high level, you know, which is something that is just a breath of fresh air. We have not been able to really feel good about our offensive line in a long time. And now I feel like you just don't have to worry about them. Like, you just know, you know, they're not perfect. They're not the best in the Power 5, but they're not a liability anymore, which is very nice to see for Florida State. And knowing that it's probably going to get better going forward with some of the players that we know that are behind them that just have not even seen the field yet, at least not in a starting role anyway. So third down defense, Louisiana is 51st in the country. Red zone defense is 83rd. Sacks, they're 39th in the country. Tackles for loss, 85th. And interceptions, they are 6th in the country. So like I said, this is a bit of an opportunistic defense. So Florida State, you know, a lot of times they don't throw the ball a lot, and I expect them to establish the run game. But, you know, you're going to have to take care of the ball because this is a defense that gets interceptions, you know, and they, like I said, they already have 2 pick sixes on the year, possibly more. I only saw 2, but, you know, that's it's something that you're going to have to take care of the ball, because you don't want to give them any freebies. You don't want to give them any easy scores that are going to keep them hanging around. They do have some pretty good players on the defense. Their secondary is not bad. And they do have two guys up front to keep your eye on. Zion. I did not do that on purpose. Zion Hill-Green. He does have 41 pressures and 7 sacks on his own. And then a kind of defensive end hybrid linebacker guy is Andre Jones. He has 26 pressures and 6 sacks. So you're looking at 67 pressures and 13 sacks combined. That's pretty high numbers. I mean, they're a legit combo up front. So Florida State will also have to be, you know, have to be on the ball about protecting Jordan and keeping him upright in this game, which, again, I do think one of the biggest factors as we get ready to wrap this up and just give our prediction here. I do think there are some things about this game that might change the outcome, the outlook of it. Now, I think Norvell is trying to make a bit of a statement in these last three games. You know, that's something he even mentioned about the Syracuse game. They just wanted to leave their mark in the final ACC game. And so I do think he's going to try to open things up. However, I do think he knows that you came from a late night 8 o'clock game on the road all the way up in Syracuse, and you also have that short week next week against Florida. So you're going to want to get that lead and get your starters out of there. You don't want to take any undue risk for injury, and you know, you want to get them as much rest as possible before you take on that Florida game on a Friday night. So I could see, you know, and one thing that we have seen in these games is when they do get the backups in, which is nice to see. I mean, like we talked about before, this is big for Florida State because you have not been able to get your backups experience in years. And so now coming into like next year, you already feel good about what you've seen from Patrick Payton. You already feel good about what you've seen from Joshua Farmer and some of these other young guys who have got into play. That's not something we've been able to see in the past. That's not an advantage Florida State has been able to have. So I think the backups will probably be in earlier, you know, than normal, given the level of opponent and given what you have next week. So I do think, like I said, being a noon game, being that rivalry coming up next week, and being you're probably going to see your starters get yanked relatively early if this game gets opened up like we think it will. It may not be 60-0 or something like that. Now, it would be nice to see Florida State get their first shutout of the season, first shutout in a while, in some years. You know, it'd be nice to see Fuller get that spiked baseball, which is a tradition at Florida State. When you get that, when you get a shutout, the baseball coach will send over the defensive coordinator a baseball with a spike in it, which is a cool tradition, and it would be nice to see them accomplish that in this game. You know, I don't know if that's going to be the case once you get the twos in there, because, like I was mentioning earlier, you have seen where the twos come in and they're just not to the level of the ones yet. And that's where you see some of them garbage time yards and those garbage time scores come in late. So, you know, like I said, that may drag it down just a little bit, but I still think they're going to be able to handle their business. And against this team, I think your twos should still be able, you know, to keep up and perform well. But overall, I do think, you know, regardless of if there's some look ahead or not, I do think Florida State, the way this team plays, the way the culture is, the way they focus on one game at a time, and they do come to play every week, and they play hard, I don't think you're going to see any difference there. So I do think they're going to handle their business. You know, I kind of went back and forth on this one with my score prediction. I really kind of want to go, you know, very lopsided, like 45-6. But like I said, the only X factor to this one is how soon do the backups get in, and do they allow like a late score like they did against Georgia Tech or something like that. But FSU has also not given up a touchdown in the last two games against teams that have probably as good or better offenses as Louisiana. So, you know, it's kind of going to be ballpark because it's going to be kind of hard to predict. But I'm going to go Florida State handles their business and gets the starters on the bench relatively early. Give me FSU something like 45-10, maybe 45-6. Like I said, it just depends on what the backups are able to do in this game and how far they go into the depth chart. Because, you know, if it gets really out of hand, there's some, you know, you could see them get down to, you know, maybe the threes or something like that. They could get pretty far into the depth chart. But, you know, I do think they're going to perform well. I do think Louisiana is, a, you know, they're a good team. And I don't want to Just act like this is Duquesne coming into town or anything like that. You know, you can't take your eye off this team. You have to show up and play. You have to take care of the ball. You cannot give them opportunities. Because I promise you, Louisiana's not coming over here to just collect a check. You know, they're coming over here to try and pull an upset. They see what, you know, Appalachian State was able to do. They see what some of these other teams were able to do, what Georgia Southern was able to do. And so, you know, they're going to be upset-minded. And like I said, they're not going to come over here just to collect a check and take a beating. Unfortunately, I think they are going to take a beating and get their check and go home. So, I'll take Florida State to win again a fourth week in dominating fashion. And as they roll into that Florida game, which is going to be a big game for them, you know, that's, I understand that both teams aren't quite where they want to be. I think Florida State's pretty close. You know, you're in the top 20 now. If you handle your business here, you're probably going to stay there. You may bump up a spot or two, depending on if there's any upsets or anything like that. You know, Florida probably won't be, I doubt they're going to be ranked by any means, especially because I think they're only playing like Vanderbilt this week. So it's not like, you know, they're going to get some kind of huge boost or anything. But still, you have, you know, you have two teams here that are more competitive. And, you know, so it aims to be a big game on a Friday night in a good environment. So Florida State just needs to handle their business this Saturday and not look ahead, even though that's a big one next week. So I do expect them to go ahead and take care of business against Louisiana and then get ready to finish the season, you know, against Florida. And they're going to, I hope they're able to take care of business and extend this streak after the bye to four wins, all by insanely dominating fashion. I mean, this is the type of ball we want to see Florida State play. This is the type of football that, you know, you thought at when they're firing on all cylinders and everything that you thought they were capable of, given some of the new pieces. And so, you know, that's the thing. They're still, this was another thing that I made in the point about the LSU game. You know, everyone said, oh, well, that was game one for LSU. I said, yeah, man, but you also have to keep in mind, that was Trey Benson's first game. That was Johnny Wilson's first game. That was Micah Pittman's first game. That's Jared Verse's first game. There was a lot of guys on the defense that was their first games too, and on offense. So, you know, Florida State, as they play, they get better. They learn the system more. Those players are getting better, and this offensive line has gotten better. So, you know, like I said, you just want to finish this season strong and carry it into that offseason, you know, because realistically, if you finish in, you know, the last point on Florida State LSU, if you finish this season, say you win out and then you win the bowl game, and LSU, you know, say the only thing maybe they lose is to Georgia in the SEC championship or something, then that game next year aims to be, depending on what they bring back and what we bring back, and you know, and what's added through the portal and everything like that, that aims to be a top 10, top 15 matchup, you know, to begin the season. So, you know, I'm excited to even think about that already, but that's a long way from now. So we're not going to get caught up on that quite yet. But so, like I said, give me Florida State to handle their business in this game against Louisiana and just get another big win, kind of in a dominating fashion as they turn their attention to Florida next week. So I do appreciate you guys listening. I do appreciate all the support. Like I said, make sure, you know, you go and you join us on social media. I promise you, you'll have fun keeping up with some of the things we do. Like I said, I just enjoy this. I love stats. I love college football. I love comparing teams and games and everything like that. So, you know, I put a lot of things out there that I think you guys would enjoy. And I do try to interact with each and every person who comments or, you know, retweets or things like that on Facebook or even Instagram. I do try and interact with everybody there. So, like I said, go check us out on social media. You know, I've never asked for ratings or reviews on podcasts before, you know, but if you feel like throwing us a review, if you enjoy this content, I would greatly appreciate it. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Right now, it's just the podcast being broadcasted over there, but pretty soon, that's one of the big reasons that I did make over the office, because I want to start doing some more YouTube things, some more live things, and so that's something I think you guys will enjoy as well. Like I said, it's just been hectic trying to keep up with some things by myself during the season. So, we'll figure that out coming up. But I do apologize for this coming out a little late. I hope you guys still get to check it out, and I hope you enjoy it. So, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. And go Noles.